Right now it is time to bring in our good friends, David and Marcy from the Berkshire Edge. You'll find the Berkshire Edge at theberkshireedge.com, theberkshireedge.com. It is full of information, not only news from South County and the immediate surrounding areas, but also a great calendar of events as they are slowly starting to build up once again in our area. Good morning, David. Good morning, Marcy. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for mentioning our calendar. We do have several hundred events on our calendar, not only for the Berkshires, but spilling into Connecticut and New York State. So it's a great resource. But I want to announce a new feature on the Edge that we launched last Friday that David didn't put on his list. But we now have something called Weddings in the Berkshires. It's a brand new section on the Edge. You know, the Berkshires and surrounding counties have become a really important wedding destination, and it's extremely important for the economy of the Berkshires and beyond. So we have created the first and only one-stop shopping for weddings in the Berkshires, and it includes some articles by experts and also a directory of more than 300 venues and vendors who serve the wedding industry. So we expect this to grow. We'll be adding more articles and we'll be adding more vendors. You can find it at theberkshireedge.com/weddings-in-the-berkshires.
You know, what's interesting about weddings is that for years I also was a disc jockey. And if you were going to hold a wedding, you got yourself a hall, you hired yourself a band or a disc jockey.
Right.
It's not that way anymore.
We have music as one of the categories in our directory with bands and disc jockeys and classical musicians.
You've got event planners. You've got people that can bring their own huge tents now. You don't have to find. You've got hotels and you've got. There are just so many options now open to people who want to plan weddings.
It's amazing. We have 12 categories.
That's what I mean.
We have wines and spirits. We have caterers. We have vendors. We have bakers. We have party gifts, like, we have chocolates or other gifts. It's huge.
That's what I mean. That's why it's great to have all that information in one space. Because, like I said, the many times I've been married, you just hire a band aid. Get a place.
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
You need to get tuxedos where to get dresses, and it's really quite something.
All right.
And when we were planning this, we were in touch with a wedding planner. Named Tara Consolati, who helped us quite a bit, on this section. And this was pre-pandemic, but she had done her first $1 million wedding in the Berkshires. So it took my breath away to think that it was a $1 million wedding, but it was a destination wedding, and that included, a whole weekend of events and food. The weddings are quite a business, and we felt that, this is in our efforts to support the local economy, that this was very important for us to do. And we were encouraged to do it by a couple of venues who felt that, there needed to be something in the Berkshires.
All right.
So we have that now.
All right. We will
back to reality.
Yeah.
reality is COVID-19, and I find this. I love this. Sharon Hospital did postpone their vaccinations yesterday and the day before, but in Berkshire County, you guys are just tough as nails and. with COVID-19, on with the vaccinations because it's just snow. So you've got the story on COVID-19,
Marshall, we just have this ongoing, series of stories about COVID and vaccinations and where people can get their people can get their shots.
There is a new website called, I think it's Get Vaccinated Berkshires, or Berkshires Get Vaccinated, or something. Let me see, I can give you the name if I can find the piece of paper. Where South County is, it's getvaccinatedberkshires.org. Unfortunately, it leads to a horrible state-designed website, which is extremely difficult to navigate, especially for people of a certain age. And but they will hopefully be improving it, because it's just very complicated to run or to fill out. But we are getting ourselves organized here. I have a friend who lives just over the border in New York State. She was able to get herself a vaccination up in Plattsburgh, New York, in April, and that was the best she could do. So, we are thankful that around the Berkshires are getting, there is some organization, and I think something like 4,000 appointments were made in just a couple of days when this website first opened. So it is, again, it's getvaccinatedberkshires.org.
All right, we'll move on with COVID-19. And yeah. I was reading, I'm pretty sure this came out fairly early in your online at theberkshireedge.com, and that is the Berkshire Hills Regional School District. I first found out about this looking at this article. They've delayed the opening in-person instruction now.
They have,
yeah. And it's sort of been, as Peter Dillon, the superintendent, has said, it's kind of been a roller coaster ride of deciding how to deal with this pandemic. But they've had remote learning only. And in February, they will go to a planned return to in-person learning. Although that could be delayed.
Yeah, I mean, so, things are so up in the air.
Yeah. And in any case, Peter Dillon, the superintendent, who's a very savvy guy, was saying that the infection rates, he was saying, are the data about it is contradictory, so they're trying to determine whether it's safe or not. It feels to me as if we were so unprepared for this, in any way at all.
Yes, we were.
I mean, not just us, but everyone.
Right.
Yeah.
With no national leadership. I mean, it doesn't seem right to me that every single school district across the country has to figure out its own procedures, that there should have been some federal leadership about, why do we have a department federal education department if we can't bring together the best resources in the country and try to figure out how schools should deal with this instead of every district. I mean, I know that the levels of COVID are different in every district and people like to act locally, but, some guidelines on when you get to this level, here's what you should do, could have been developed.
Well, it's not only that, but the federal money that could go to states to help them pay for what they're doing. And yes, states are giving money to school districts. They are. But then again, that money should be somehow helped out by the federal government.
States don't have any money. I mean, especially, states which now, have unfavorable tax situations thanks to the previous administration. So, New York State is broke. Massachusetts isn't far behind. Connecticut is broke.
It's one of those.
Connecticut was broke before.
Yeah, it's one of those things that people have to look at and understand that the money has got to come from someplace. And yes, taxpayers end up paying for it in the long run, but still, by having the guidance of a federal system that puts it together, it takes a lot off not only local state agencies, but also school districts and more.
Well, and you know, that means that every district in the country has to figure out its own resources and its own experts, and why not have some, a group of experts advising? Anyway,
on this story, there was interviewed a teacher, a fourth grader at Muddy Brook, who was saying how the students were upset about themselves, about not being back at school.
Yes.
And she was saying that how difficult this is going to be. The stakes are so very high because the educational process has just been upended.
I think kids should just repeat the year. Otherwise, when they're able to go back into school, I think they should just repeat the year because they have they got no education this year.
We'll have to, we'll have to see. These are the things that if we went into this with a plan as a country, we wouldn't be so worried about it right now. But I want to go on to your next story because you've got a story about the collaborative. We talk about vaccinations, and it's funny. Sometimes I think when people hear us talk about vaccinations for COVID-19, they're thinking about testing. No, we've moved beyond that now. There's still lots of can get testing at a lot of different places, but the vaccinations, like I'm 68, I still have to wait for Connecticut to open up registration for 68-year-olds, and then at that point, you register, and then it's probably, for me, about another month down the line by the time, my appointment will come up.
Yeah.
Right. Well, this is the website that we mentioned earlier, and I think it's in the article, but there is a collaborative, and it's, for the Berkshires, and they have set up their own website, and it's www.getvaccinatedberkshires.org.
Right.
And as I said, it leads, unfortunately, to a very poorly designed state site. it does list. If you search by website, by zip code, it does tell you the places in the Berkshires where you can get a vaccination. Unfortunately, in the Berkshires there are only two places. There's one in Pittsfield, and there's one at the W.E.B. Du Bois, newly named W.E.B. Du Bois Middle School in Great Barrington. And the website only gives you a couple of dates to choose from, and when you go there, they are mostly, they're filled. But in South County, at least, there is a waiting list, and after you go through this whole process online, if there are no places, you do get to put yourself on a waiting list, and our understanding is that they are going to the waiting list when they have openings. So the rest of the state does not have a waiting list. It's only the Berkshires that have organized themselves with a waiting list.
Yeah. The next story that we'll talk about is something I'm sure that I know people in government didn't assume that 1 year later we would be still talking about this, but once again, it's coming up. There's town meetings and stuff like that, and we're still right now in the midst of the pandemic.
Yeah.
So now select boards, once again, and there's budgets, there's select boards, there's school budgets. All these things, people used to show up at meetings, and now the most cases they're not allowed to.
Right. Well, right. They've set up a way for it's a virtual part, what they call virtual participation. Where they can join via Zoom and participate that way. They have to sign up, but they're trying to have our town government be as transparent as possible and participatory as possible, even during this pandemic. And right now, of course, we're in the budget planning process, for town meetings, the town meeting, which will take place in, later in the spring.
You know, I want to add something else here, too, because, I mean, you know, it's true that we've been through 1 year of town meetings, and it, you know, and so, you know, presumably if we can't all get together in the high school, then we will get together again in the parking lot of the high school, which we did last year and which worked fairly well. But these months leading up to the pandemic are the times when the budgets get discussed and the warrants get discussed, and it requires that you have internet to participate. We did a very interesting article. We now have a Business Monday section where we, you know, we concentrate most of our business articles on Monday, and one of our writers, Julia Dixon, did a very interesting article about the problem of internet or no broadband in rural areas. That if you are a worker and you want to try to work remotely, you know, there are places all over the Berkshires where you just can't do it, where you're still on dial-up or nothing at all. And that, you know, the towns, are, you know, one by one are trying to figure out still the internet problem. So, you know, Great Barrington, we are pretty much covered. We have Spectrum.
Cable, right?
We have cable, which, you know, which gives us you know, it gives us internet access. It's not exactly broadband, but it's you know, it's sufficient. I mean, we use it and we run an internet business on it. But it's, and downtown Great Barrington has been wired by Fiber Connect, which is very high speed and very wide broadband. But you know, it's a problem still all over the Berkshires, and as I imagine that it is in, you know, your areas of Connecticut.
What is it? Comcast is in our area, and they have their regular package, but they're still not, they only reach about, I would say, about 65 to 70%
right.
of the homes in our area. But one thing Comcast does offer is the more you pay, the higher speed you get. And we here at the radio station and our local access TV station, we go full boat because, you know,
yeah.
we want to be able to download an hour video in like 3 minutes. I mean, so
yeah.
it's expensive.
Right.
I mean, it's horribly expensive. It's an expense 10 years ago you never would consider doing, but it's
right.
but it's necessary. And it all ties together what we're talking about, the funding that's needed and leadership from the federal government on down, so things like this don't happen again.
Right. It's no longer a luxury. I mean, this has
yeah.
now become a necessity like electricity. I mean, you can't, you know, it's, I think we've talked about this before, and everybody recognizes it, that, you know, you and the realtors tell me that they can't sell a house if it doesn't have, you know, internet. I mean, these, you know, charming country houses now that have no cable, no, you know, they're still stuck with dial-up, is that. They can't sell. Nobody wants them.
I can tell you right now that if I was in the market for a house, it would have to have that. I mean,
it would not
be acceptable for me to move into a house that does not have internet access.
No.
It might sound crazy, but it's true. You really do need it, just not just to watch TV, but you need it for overall information sharing.
Yes, you do, and you need it now. I mean, we're coming up into town meeting time. I mean, you need it to participate in your local government.
All right. Well, I want to move on here, and
yes.
ladies and gentlemen, we're going to move on to this.
Let's right. see. Okay.
We're going to move on to none other than the Great Barrington Fairgrounds.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, is the select board really considering purchasing that?
Apparently so. Yeah. Well, you know, it's an eyesore, right?
And, well, it's a relic of another time, and you know, this all started. The demise of the fairgrounds was in a tornado years ago that tore down the grandstand. But
that was 1995.
Right. Mm-hmm. So we've been, you know, 25 years later. We're still talking about what to do with the fairgrounds, and the town is thinking about it being, you know, a possibility of reviving it as a, you know, not only a recreational area, but also as a park. And this,
yeah,
it's an interesting proposal. It's, of course, located. It has lots of, the grounds are rather nice, so.
Except that part of it is a floodplain.
Yeah.
Well, it is on a floodplain.
Yeah. But, you know, somebody suggested we could have tennis courts there. It could be very nice. It's just outside of downtown. It's Guido's and the Big Y, for, you know, most people know where that is.
How about my just making it a nice green zone, you know, that
that
area that aren't flood, that isn't flood prone, have little walkways and benches and get little gazebos and stuff like that. Just a wide open green zone as you enter Great Barrington, it would look beautiful.
It would look beautiful.
Yep.
And, you know, and the other thing is that it is a nonprofit organization now. So it doesn't pay any taxes, so it's not like the town would be losing tax revenue by acquiring it. You know, there is no tax revenue, so that it's really the acquisition costs, and then, you know, which I assume are not going to be insurmountable.
But just imagine that as a green...
The couple who bought it and turned it into a non-profit are probably eager to get rid of it.
You know, just imagine if the town did buy it and fix it up like that. Imagine that once a month they could have food trucks in. I mean, they could have so many different events that they could do there.
They could have outdoor concerts there.
Yeah.
I mean, it, you know, it would be... it could be beautiful.
Yeah. Right.
And they could have recreational facilities there. There's a lot that could be done.
Well,
concerts.
Let's step up to your last story here, because we only have about 3 minutes left, and that is the PCB landfill in Lee. I mean, I read your story on it, and it just goes on and on and on and on. I mean, people just don't feel good about it.
No, and why should they?
No, they don't. The question has been always what to do if they're going to remove the PCB sediments from the river and its riverbanks, is what to do then with the contaminated sludge. And among the proposed, this has been going on for, 25 years now, ever since, in fact, it is exactly 25 years, ever since the Environmental Protection Agency ruled that GE had to pay for a massive cleanup between its Pittsfield plant and the Connecticut River, the Connecticut border. And of course, in Connecticut as well, the PCBs from that General Electric plant in Pittsfield, you guys in Connecticut also were contaminated by that. But the question then is where to put this sludge? That is what...
so they want to bury it in a...
In a landfill.
In a landfill in Lee.
In Lee, right.
And the townspeople are not happy about this because it will eventually leak out.
Right. And the half-life of these PCBs is quite... You know, these things are going to be toxic for a long time.
Well, it's like nuclear waste. And it's not quite as damaging as nuclear waste for the length of the time they're toxic. But what they should do is they should put the sludge at the major shareholders of GE. They should put them in their backyard and make them...
They should. If it's so safe, you know, for the people in Lee, then it's sort of like... We think the executives of Boeing should only travel on this one plane that was downed, and so the shareholders of GE, unfortunately, Jack Welch has died, but they should have made him live on top of it.
Or buried him there.
Buried him there, right.
I'm only a joke, folks. I'm only kidding. Well, there's these stories and many, many more that you're going to find where at the BerkshireEdge.com, 24 hours a day.
And the wedding section on the calendar, don't forget.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm not going to the wedding section anymore. But anyways, everybody else can.
Everybody else can.
All right, guys. We'll speak to you next week.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Take care.
The BerkshireEdge.com is where you'll find them on the web. Once again, the BerkshireEdge.com.